It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
Alrighty, there we are. I like that the fact that I always have to reconnect us to the stream because the equipment works so well after breaks. It's a fun little treat.
So. Having trouble with your stream, are you?
I am, Pip.
You need Flomax. Because you're in good hands with Flomax.
Guys had that ready to go, I see.
We worked that up. Yeah,
you guys are quite the talented duo over
yes.
there.
Yeah, get the hats and canes.
I would like to see the Flomax commercial with hats and canes. I welcome that. Please make that happen.
I'll get...
Hey, Pip, what is it, Joe? I got to pee right now. You need Flomax.
Here's my hat.
What is that? Is that a little stripe going down your pants? No, that's a piss stream.
Hey, Joe, put away your other cane.
All right. So there was that. And we'll continue. So we'll do some School of Fools, and maybe we'll get another commercial break in the middle of the fucking show. Never know what you're going to get. Here we go.
Ring around the rosy, bucket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
Alrighty, so we got a couple schools of fools that we'll get to. Here's the first one. New Jersey has become the second state in the nation after California to adopt a law that requires schools to teach about LGBT, history in a move hailed by the civil rights groups as a step towards inclusion and fairness. Governor Phil Murphy, a Democrat who promised to promote equality for gay and transgender people during his campaign, signed the bill on Thursday, and Bill laughed and giggled. Among those
get that pen off me.
Among those celebrating the news was Jamie Brusoff of Vernon, whose 12-year-old transgender child Rebecca spoke in support of the bill in Trenton in December. This bill is so important for our young people, Brusoff said. They need to see examples of themselves in the history being taught and in classes they are going to each day. We know representation matters. By learning about LGBTQ people who have made amazing contributions to their country, they are seeing possibilities for themselves and hope for the future, she said. Under the measure, public schools must include lessons about the political, economic, and social contribution of individuals who are gay, transgender, starting in 2020-21 school year. The bill also requires teaching about contributions of people who are disabled. The law does not apply to private schools. Leaders of civil rights and advocacy groups said the law will give students a fuller history of the United States, promote understanding, and help children feel included in school. Our youth deserve to see how diverse American history truly is and how they can be a part of it one day too, said Christian Foscarino, executive director of the advocacy group Garden State Equality. Conservative organizations have opposed proposals to teach gay and transgender history, saying such requirements take away from parents and may encourage kids to question their sexuality. Because I remember when my parents told me about the fight of Bunker Hill. I remember when they sat down and told me about that.
Yeah.
I remember when Mom and Dad sat down, went over dinner and told me about the Gettysburg Address.
Well, you know what? When my parents, sat me down when I was four and started telling me about LGBTQ issues, I started checking out the other girls in the kindergarten in a new way. That's what happened.
Funny, I feel like it was always the same way with you. Anyway, I go on.
Hey, baby.
Len Dio, president of the New Jersey Family Policy Council, said he opposed the bill because it infringed on parents' rights. We believe it further erodes the rights of parents to discuss these sensitive issues with their children. If, in fact, schools are going to be promoting and making the claim that this particular person was an LGBTQ member, he said. So it's a very interesting thing. I don't know if this is – I don't really know – like, I understand the reasoning why we should bring sexuality, make people feel inclusive in it, but I don't really know if everything has to be about sexuality. Like, I don't need to – I don't really need to know if Abraham Lincoln was straight or gay. I don't really need to – I'm not thinking about them in that way.
No.
Not in school. I mean, maybe in college if I'm doing a thesis on something.
I mean, if specifically they're talking about – now, I mean, I don't feel like – you need to, like, all right, let me just backtrack and say that if you're teaching literature and you're teaching it to kids and there's a famous poet and you're going through what do their poems mean, and so you do look at the life of the person who wrote them.
But we know all poets are gay. Why do we have to talk about it?
Oh, stop now.
What? I'm sorry, your parents didn't have that talk with you? Mine did. They told me Shakespeare's a homo.
They left that out.
He wasn't a poet, though.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
In addition to being a playwright, he was a poet.
Oh, he's a poet?
And you didn't know it. So, to you.
That was a foot race. I was going to say that.
My feet are quicker.
Yeah,
yours
are
lighter.
Yeah. I don't know about that. But the thing is that if it's pertinent to what you're discussing, I mean, the person's sexuality, if it plays out in their poetry, for example, would be a reason to bring it up. But I don't think I need to know, or children
like,
need
like
to.
Here, I'll give you an example. Like, Adolf Hitler put a lot of homosexuals to death. Coincidentally, happened to be a little gay. All right, now we got something to talk about.
But
it makes sense. You go, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Goebbels did say the mustache tickled the balls.
Goebbels was a big fan of gerbils. Discuss.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, if it's pertinent to
if
the
it's
subject,
pertinent
man.
To the subject. I mean, we know Benjamin Franklin was quite the ladies' man.
He might have been a man's man, too.
Whatever. I'm like, do I need to know that the man got around? No. I don't really need to know that.
I think it's fine for college. Like, if you're taking, like, I could see that. Those would be great classes for college.
Yes.
I just don't know if we need it in elementary school. I understand why they're doing it.
Well, if they're talking about, like, for example, if they're talking about the civil rights in the 60s.
Okay.
And women's voting rights. And then they want to talk about what happened at Stonewall.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I think that's pertinent.
Yeah, around that. And also a couple of things on that where it's just weird. They have a 12-year-old transgender child. At 12 years old, I don't think a kid knows what it wants to be.
You wanted to be an astronaut.
They do, though. There's a lot of these things that, you know, I've watched.
I don't know. Have you met my 12-year-old?
Are you saying that she doesn't know which gender she wants to be?
I don't know what the fuck she wants to be.
Well,
she showed no interest at any of that.
Yeah, but she's still young.
Right, so that's what Joe's point was.
No, but
Joe just said at 12 years old.
But it's not. But gender is not about your sexual preference. It's who you think you are.
I don't know who the fuck she thinks she is. She often asks who the fuck she thinks I am.
Yeah, but there are. Nice. That's
that
great.
Down. That's gotta go in. Yeah. That's gotta go in.
Write
that down for me.
But the thing is,
Madam Secretary.
The thing is that, but there are kids that. Say that, you know, they are born a boy, but they insist from an early age, I want to wear dresses. Give me that doll.
You got to watch.
Call me Sandy.
You got to watch. You got to
call me Jazz.
You got to look up Dr. Deborah So. She was on Real Time with Bill Maher.
Okay.
She just talked about this.
Okay.
And she's pretty much been drummed out of the community because what she said, scientifically, it shows that kids don't really know at that age, like that you should hold off on starting to transform them.
Because they don't know.
Because they often change their minds. No. But if you encourage it, they're more likely to stick with something. Whereas if you just go, well, let's see where this goes and play it by ear,
right,
they might come back to being a heterosexual
now,
or whatever.
Now, if it was, say, a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old, that's kind of a different conversation. Because there's about another, you know, several more years on that where they would kind of have an idea.
But that's not really what this is about, but I hear your point.
I understand.
Yeah,
and also another point on that is the one conservative group said that they're not leaving the decision to discuss this with the parents, which...
How many parents are really talking about this? And especially really conservative ones. Conservative ones are not talking about homosexuals other than, don't do that, it doesn't go there. They're just not. I mean, let's be honest, they're very, for the most part, very rigid, frigid people, very repressed. And it's their choice. But let's not pretend that they're just waiting to have the conversation and the school jumped ahead of the line.
Because your sexuality or whether you're homosexual or not is something that is genetic. I don't think it's a a surroundings thing. Because, for example,
surround me with enough ass, I might stick a cock in it.
But really, I was raised by women. I was raised by my grandmother. I was raised by my mom and my grandmother. I've been taken to dress stores. I've been taken to antique, and I've been taken to potpourri. I know how to make potpourri. I know how to go to get the herbs to make the potpourri. I know about sewing. I know about hem and all this stuff. I went to fabric stores. Joe's girl and I went to a fabric store, and I'm walking around. I'm looking at everything. I'm like, testing the
fabric.
So
it just means they made you a tailor. It doesn't mean they made you gay.
But it's a lot of, there was really, you know, with the exception of the Boy Scouts, there's no really male stuff.
Yeah, but
you're
a mother who I did not know, but who you've described did not strike me as a wishy-washy or let you be wishy-washy.
That's true.
I'm guessing she wanted you to be a man's man.
Yeah.
Had to know how to do basic skills, like sewing, which you would have to do. You know, you might have to sew your own shit, but to be a man's man. I don't know.
I drink, I smoke cigars on occasion.
I curse. Like a damn bull dyke.
But I don't think it's, I don't know, you know, I think it's a genetic thing.
I don't know what it is, but I just want to stick with this. They're making an excuse. I don't see these parents sitting down with the kids. It's just,
no.
They're not doing it.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's bullshit. They don't want to have the conversation.
They don't want them to know about it.
Exactly. And if they are gay, they're wrong.
They don't want to have the conversation, but do you feel that they should be forced into the kids having that conversation?
I don't know if they should be forced into having the conversation. I just think that's a lame excuse not to have the conversation.
I do think that, there's two different things. I do really need to have you separate out the issues of gender versus sexuality, because you guys are talking about whether somebody's gay or not. No. They're talking about, you are born with girl parts, and do you feel like a girl? If I was born this way and all of a sudden I start saying, 3 or 4 years old, give me trucks, I'm a boy, stop calling me a girl, don't you put me in a fucking dress. And I stick with it up until the onset of puberty. You've got a kid who is
right,
misgendered.
But you got to look at Deborah So and look what the research shows.
Right, but what I'm saying is that whatever me in my girl body, if I feel like a girl, or me in my girl body, but I feel like a boy, that has nothing to do with who I'm sexually attracted to. That's a different issue. That's your sexuality. That's your ingrained sexual preference. We're talking about gender. Your specific gender.
I'm not
gender
talking about gender.
Yeah, well.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about whether they should be talking about what historical figures were doing or not.
Oh, I know, but that's part of what we were talking about before, and I think that we were getting some of it twisted. But the other thing is, we're tending to separate out our topics from quote-unquote normal history and black history and gay history.
I said this last week.
It should all just be history.
History. Go through the fucking timeline. That way we can do away with the stupid fucking parades and all the fucking nonsense on curriculum. Teach it all. But you know what? I like the way you said it. Listen, if we're talking about the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. yes, this is what homosexuals and transgenders were dealing through all this time. It wasn't just black people who were fighting for their civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was also going on. This is part of that same story. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. I don't need to know if Lafayette was lighting the loafers. I don't give two shits.
Right. I mean, it's like we don't have to go, okay, it's women's history month, so we're going to talk about the suffragettes. That's just part of the general conversation during the timeline.
And
you could do that too. I mean, Walt Whitman, if you're talking about poetry, Walt Whitman was gay. But you're talking about Walt Whitman's poetry. I mean, and he was gay too. All right, what does that got to do with anything?
Unless he wrote a lot of poems about worms and snakes and flowers and, you know what I mean? Like, unless it's pertinent to taking apart and, you know, interpreting the poetry itself. I don't care who we sleeping
right.
with.
Right, and so if you're teaching the curriculum and you bring up somebody that was gay, and them being gay was them making a change on something because they were gay, they saw the injustice and they directed their poetry there.
Yes,
now that's fine. But if they're just going to go and he was also gay, now you're kind of you're taking away that. So his poetry wasn't good. We have to concentrate that he was gay. You know, gay.
Yeah.
If the poetry was good poetry. And wasn't, you know, entertaining, but not making a change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where the whole thing of being a gay doesn't really
a gay. The whole thing about being a gay.
But you know, if that didn't have a bearing on what his contribution did,
right?
You know, if it had a bearing, then you need to stop and discuss that.
Here's a very short poem by William Blake, "The Sick Rose." O Rose, thou art sick, the invisible worm that flies in the night in the howling storm, has found out thy bed of crimson joy, and his dark secret love does thy life destroy. Now, I'm not going to sit here and do poetry interpretation, but my poetry teacher was going on and on about, you know, it's not just a worm, you know, in the crimson joy of that rose. And it was, you know, he was very, very, very heterosexual and had to go on about that all the time. But I'm saying, if, and I don't know this as a fact, William Blake was homosexual, then his interpretation of, oh, we're talking about heterosexual sex, you know, the that worm in the rose, yeah, you might go, wait, that's not what he's talking about.
I've never met one that smelled like a rose.
Jesus. I've
heard them scream that on occasion.
I'm just saying that the sexuality of the person writing something doesn't necessarily have to be an issue, especially for kids in grammar school. Come on.
So that's it. I don't know what grade this is. I do think it could help gay students go, hey, I do have value. Because very often these kids felt like they have no value. They're afraid to let people know, you know, about their sexuality. So it can go, hey, well, I can be
in
anything.
In a way, when I first read the story, I was thinking that way too, but what grade would you start to introduce that?
Maybe senior year of high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe senior year in high school.
Well, you know,
in history, senior year of high school.
I think earlier in high school.
I think it's a little too late. If that's going to be the reason, I think that's a little too late. I would introduce it maybe in the sophomore year.
I don't know. I would start. You know what?
Like
when
10th grade?
I don't know. I don't think it needs to be fucking introduced, to be honest with you.
I think if it's pertinent to the story. I mean,
yeah, if it's pertinent to the story, I don't need a whole I don't need a whole curriculum on pride parades that we've loved and had.
No.
I don't need that shit. I mean, if you know, listen, hey, and it turns out Babe Ruth was gay. I don't need to know if Babe Ruth was gay. I don't give a shit. He's the Sultan of SWAT, not the Sultan of SWAT. What do I give a shit?
Did it change his batting average?
I like that. That's funny.
You guys say not, or the Sultan of Sultan of SWAT, but he wasn't the Sultan of Twat, something like that. I was too wordy. All right.
As opposed to your rework was so concise.
I didn't. I said it stunk.
Can we punch you in the face again? Can we make it two?
No, we're not fucking.
Hold on a second. No, I'm gonna pull my punch like I do in my dreams. I can never connect when I'm punching somebody.
I don't think parents' rights are being violated.
No.
I think that's a bullshit argument. My rights are being violated.
It's
please,
like, oh, please.
It.
We're not going over
nobody's,
the
board. Nobody's forcing your kid to take it in the ass from another man.
No.
If he's a guy. I mean, we're not violating your rights.
Although we have seen some interesting stories about how teachers have decided to teach about slavery in their classrooms.
Yes, sure.
As long as you you pull back from that particular...
learning by doing, Canada.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so let's move on. Joe, can I borrow your print out of this? Because I wanted to record the audio, and I forgot to.
What's the story?
It's the one about the burning of the flag.
Burning of the flag.
So this is about two Utah high school football players were kicked off football team after a social media post allegedly showed an LGBTQ flag being set on fire while someone made threatening comments. The players were indefinitely suspended from the team at Kearns High School near Salt Lake City, Utah, after the Snapchat video surfaced. The video reportedly posted by one of the players showed someone lighting the flag on fire while laughing.
I say flag.
Another.
Right?
Yes, Pip, you're a good girl.
I say, I won't go any further. We got to be inclusive, you know. Inclusive.
Was that your fag horn leghorn? Is that what you're doing over there?
No, this is the fag horn leghorn. I say, I need more cock, and I'm gluing them in the barnyard.
Oh, God.
Dum 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 diddity da doo. Cock.
Why does Faghorn Leghorn only have one track mind? Why does it always have to be about cock?
Well, because he is one.
He doesn't want the chicken hawk. He wants the cock now.
Oh, he wants the chicken hawk, too.
Oh, yeah, boy. Sit down, boy. We're going to learn how to tie... No,
well, see, now I think boy is racially insensitive now, too. How do you like that?
Oh, it is.
I'm about that boy.
Yeah, it is.
I don't respond to boy. Lad. You can call me lad. Matt Richards, the team's head coach, said the video sickens him and could potentially classify as a hate crime. Our number one goal is to build men of character, integrity, be responsible, have empathy for others, and serve the community for good. That's our number one objective. The Granite School District told the local outlet that officials are still determining the proper punishment for the students, which could include community service or school suspension. The school said the video is being considered cyberbullying. We want to make sure every student who walks through our doors feels safe and secure in the environment they are in, said district spokesman Ben Horsley. Whether it was done intentionally with a threat in mind or for humor's sake, it's inappropriate and we're going to address it in a very serious fashion. All right.
No, we're going to put clown noses on. And go, oh, look, you burnt the flag, don't you know? You're in trouble. Shoot him, he'll squirt him with a water. Combine my pendants.
As long as it's water.
Yeah, right.
Water in the flower on the on his lapel.
You're not dealing
lapel.
With this seriously.
Honky? Honky?
Stop it now. This is serious.
Honk.
I think they should have been suspended.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody disagree on that?
You think it might be a freedom of speech violation?
Well, the government's not coming down after the school has standards. Government's not saying you can't do it. The school's saying we don't want you to do it. You're part of our football team, which is a privilege. Not everybody gets to be on the football team.
It kind of tipped over into hate crime when they said all fags should die.
But they didn't say when.
No. Well,
they just, I mean, because we all die.
In general, yeah. Well, we all die.
Maybe there's just a fact of life.
Maybe they're psychics.
Maybe, that's what it was.
We should go and find them and ask what Maui was doing with the picture.
I think the more interesting question is, what happens if it's they're burning an Iranian flag? Do you know?
Well, that's what I was kind of getting at. Because basically, what they did was wrong. It was reprehensible.
Yeah.
You know? But then you could say, well, is it a freedom of speech? Well, no, they did. Well, what if they burnt an American flag? They burnt an Iranian flag? They burnt, you know, what is it then? So that's
I think it's always up to the school. It's a privilege. You can get suspended in school. It's a privilege to be on a football team. It's up to the school. The coach is saying this is not what our standards are. We expect better of our young men on this team.
But it stepped over. I believe it stepped over to a hate crime when they said all gays die while they're burning the flag.
Fine, but
that
it's
represents
not a freedom,
them.
It's not a freedom of speech thing.
No, because as we have discussed, freedom of speech is limited when we come to hate speech.
No, it's not. It's not.
Isn't it a hate crime?
It's what they did was reprehensible, and it's hate, but it's not. It's a freedom of speech thing, where it's not. If burning an Iranian flag would be out of hate.
Well, if you're saying, kill all the Iranians.
That I still think would be under a freedom of speech. And believe me, Pip, I'm being very technical with this.
I know.
I'm not taking away the situation and the hatred with the situation.
I get you.
Being technical and, you know, going by the Constitution, I wonder how that ruling would play out.
Well, I'm asking the question, actually. I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking.
I think the school can do it. You don't have freedom of speech in school.
What if it was a Star of David and they were saying, all Jews die?
I think the school gets the final call.
You don't think that it's a criminal act?
To burn an inanimate object, no. I don't think it's a criminal act to burn an inanimate
object. I don't think it's a criminal act either.
What about defacing? I mean, it is vandalism.
Oh, well, I don't know whose flag that was. They could have bought the flag. Now, if they stole it from somebody, then you have vandalism. If they bought the flag to burn it, it's not vandalism. They're doing what they want. Their flag.
Okay.
You know, what happens if they burn an effigy of Trump?
I think that's political.
Right, but would you be upset if they got suspended for that from the school? I wouldn't be. School makes the rules.
No, I mean it's fire, so yes, it's dangerous. But I mean, if they were hanging an effigy of him, you know, so take the fire out of it, it's not dangerous.
As Frankenstein would say, fire bad.
Fire bad, you know. But
thank you, Frankenstein. I'm
glad you know that you're his spokesman.
He has another statement. He said,
"No,
you're the fucking Sarah Sanders of the Frankenstein administration."
You know, well,
this is liberal Frankenstein. He's
got to be an easier gig than Sanders just walked away from.
Yeah, right.
Fire bad, Trump
today,
bad.
Yeah, today he tweeted, "Iran bad."
Now, when Mr. Frankenstein was treating Iran bad, did he mean the country or he was running poorly?
The country. Drone good, Iran bad. Exactly.
And Mr. Trump gave his best speech to date.
Yes. As you see, Darren paraphrased the president.
And you know what? I'd have to go on Facebook and say, you know what? That tweet was good.
So concise, and everything was spelled properly.
Just nothing but R's.
He's finally hit his stride, this president. I feel good. I like the direction the country's going. Away from fire.
Far bad. Yes, we got that. We got that.
Always the same theme.
By executive order, nobody can cook food anymore. We're a sushi-loving nation.
Yeah, but he no longer has his little talks in front of the helicopters because he's scared of them.
I don't think that's out of the question.
No, I don't think so.
I don't remember these things going on in high school.
No, nor do I. Not at least.
I mean, I heard plenty of anti-Semitic things directed at me and others and that. But I don't remember this whole... I mean, I don't remember... You know, like I said, we called the kid Blaine, making fun of the fact that we thought he was gay, even though he had a girlfriend. Turns out we were right. He was gay. I mean, that's what we did. That's where it went. If I look back, I go, well, that's stupid. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. But it wasn't this type of shit.
You know, Anthony Kumar was talking about that on his show a couple of days ago.
And Thank God he has an outlet for it.
But, you know, on the whole thing about the hate thing, when we were in high school, I mean, if you... And he was talking for a group of friends. Obviously, I was in that group, and he had a point. We never called, you know, people like, hey, you're faggot, whatever, you know, if somebody was gay. But we used to say, you know, hey, what are you doing, man? We're going to hang out. You know, it's a late night. And he goes, you're a faggot. You know, we would direct it if you don't want to hang out or you don't want to do this. You know, but we never saw somebody who was gay or we thought was gay and called them a faggot.
I heard that when I was in school, though. Right. Well, yeah. Well, I heard that when I was in school, people would say things about guys that they thought were gay. I mean, I don't remember them yelling at girls that they thought were gay.
We just wanted to watch.
but I do remember the guys that people thought were gay. It turned out later that they were, you know, but I do remember them getting tortured.
Yeah, like I was, like I said, I called the guy Blaine. I was a douche. Because Blaine was a very effeminate name.
Oh, okay. And I was like, what does that mean?
The name sounds... You don't find too many masculine men named Blaine.
No, you don't.
Maybe a rogue Chippendale dancer, but that's as masculine as you're going to get.
A rogue Chippendale dancer. You know, he goes off on the side and he wears a different color thong. Yeah, ha-ha!
But back in the day, in the crew I ran with, if you goofed on somebody who was gay or tried to, you know, hassle a gay guy, you get your balls, bro. What are you, really tough? You really hassling him? Really?
Real? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, why don't you go hassle the football team? Why don't you go fuck with those guys?
I was talking to the place kicker.
Funny. Yeah. He's gig in town, yeah.
It was because of the pirouette at the
end. But it's like we weren't bullies in our crew. You know, I mean, we were a bunch of degenerates. But the one thing we weren't was bullies.
I'm glad that you were just degenerates, not bullies.
We were
bullies.
Just, you know, pot smoking, beer drinking, cigarette smoking.
Cock sucking.
wait, how'd that slip?
Ball tickling.
How'd that slip
anal
in there?
Anal probing. Fabric shopping. Light the loafering. Bunch of manly men's running around town. I don't know what the problem was.
Light in the loafering.
Sure, we like the Pirates of Penzance, but who didn't?
that was a good one. We're not going to come around. You wouldn't go to that.
Sure, we were like the Jets when we came to town snapping down your alley, but that didn't mean there was nothing wrong with us.
Well, do you guys see Rocket Man?
Not yet.
I went to... Joe's girl and I went to see Rocket Man.
I'm sure she dragged you because it meant you had to be out in public.
No, I love that. I love Elton John.
I know you did, but you don't usually go to movies.
This movie theater is nice because it has assigned seating. It's got the recliners, the reclining chairs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's great. It rules. So we're watching and there's a sex scene.
Yeah.
Between Elton John and his manager, John Reed.
Get you in the mood?
No. And like, I'm sitting there going, and Deanna is just laughing, you know? Just laughing.
Somebody's going to have a strap on for their next birthday.
Yeah.
focus on the light tower. Focus on the light tower. It's my beach home. It's my beach home. Yeah. It's my safe space. Yeah. Seagull! That's a safety word. Starfish! That's what she's in.
Here's a pillow to bite. Now shut up.
It's time you try new things. We're not getting any younger.
Yeah.
Play some nice Elton John in the background. Uh-huh. Oh, Crocodile Crockett. Yeah. Right?
Hold me closer, tiny dancer.
Yeah, she should start out small. You don't want to go with a large dancer right off the bat. You'll scare the boy.
Yeah. Tiny dancer.
Tiny
start
dancer.
With that.
Yeah. All right, so we'll move on. So, yeah, okay. Harvard University has rescinded the acceptance for a Parkland shooting survivor and pro-gun advocate after race. I don't really know whether pro-gun advocacy is part of the story, but they make a point. Everybody reports it, so I'm reporting it. But
yeah.
After racist messages he sent in high school resurfaced last month. On Monday, Kyle Kashev, 18, posted a lengthy Twitter thread explaining that 3 months after being accepted into the Ivy League's university class of 2020, 23, Harvey decided to rescind his admission. The decision, he said, is due to posts and messages he shared with fellow students at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School 2 years ago before the February 14, 2018 shooting that killed 17 people and propelled him and his classmates into national spotlight. Kashif has gained prominence for his conservative politics, which include pro-gun views. He's made several appearances on Fox News to speak out against gun control restrictions that other Parkland shooting survivors campaigned for. He also met with President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump to discuss school safety. Why would you meet with them to discuss school safety?
I'm not sure.
In my country, there was no guns. There was just mines and mortars.
What?
That's how I'm imagining Slovenia when Melania grew up. Oh. There's no historical basis to that at all. Anyway,
no.
In May, fellow classmates posted screenshots of racist messages that Kashif admitted he typed into a group Google Doc in December 2017. These included him repeatedly typing the N-word. In an ensuing apology, Kashif said he was 16 years old when he made the egregious and callous comments, and what he described as an attempt to be shocking. All right, Howard Stern. Kashif could.
I can't get into Harvard now.
Kashif continued that he was embarrassed by the comments he made and said they were not indicative of who I am or who I've become in the years since. Shortly after screenshots were posted online, Kashif had also announced he would be stepping down from his role as director of high school outreach and conservative nonprofit Turning Point USA. Despite his letter apologizing for the comments on June 3rd, the university sent a letter withdrawing his admission. Kashif posted a copy of the letter, which read, "Harvard reserves the right to withdraw an offer of admission under various conditions, including if you engage or have engaged in behavior that brings into question your honesty, maturity, or moral character." Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Kashif said that former peers and political opponents contacted Harvard urging the school to revoke his admission. He said Harvard reached out to him in May and asked him to explain his statements. Harvard spokeswoman Rachel Dane tells Time Magazine, the school does not comment publicly on the admission status of individual applicants, but says studies are told about the conditions that can lead to the withdrawal of their admission to the university. Kashif said he believes the college's decision indicated it thought he could not learn from past mistakes. He said that was hypocritical and accused Harvard of having a checkered past with a faculty that has included slave owners, segregationists, bigots, and anti-Semites throughout its history. A who's who, if you will. He added that he had to give up the biggest scholarship to attend Harvard. What a fucking sacrifice. And the deadline to accept other colleges' offers has passed. He said he's exploring all options at the moment. Trump University is looking. This is not the first time Harvard has turned down students after controversial behavior was revealed. In 2017, offers were rescinded to 10 applicants following their participation in a Facebook group that shared racist and sexist memes. It also is not the first time a Parkland activist college admission process has made headlines. In 2018, David Hogg said he was rejected by several colleges, leading Fox News anchor Laura Ingraham to mock him on Twitter. After advertisers began pulling ads, Ingraham apologized for her comments, and in December 2018, Hogg announced he'd be attending Harvard, where he would not be classmates with Kashif. Listen, I think Harvard can do whatever the fuck they want. It's a privilege to get into Harvard. You know, it's their school. They make the rules. If you have your heart set on Harvard and you know this, don't do stupid shit.
Or at least if you had done stupid shit, this is before the shooting, come out and admit it.
Hey, you know what you do? You fucking write that in the essay that you have to write. Go, hey, I've learned so much.
Yep.
I used to do this stuff. I'm not that person anymore. I'm evolving. I want to go to your university to continue to my evolution into the person I want to become.
Right.
You could.
Well, I think
that was
before they called the carpet on him. But
right. That's what we're saying. If you're really not that same person anymore,
then
be proactive about it.
Because you know they're going to find it.
I don't know if you know, but
I don't think he knew.
But if you've really evolved and this is such a change in your life, this could be something.
But the thing about it is when they called him on it, he should have said that. Essentially, he said he did that. He's a different person now. He regrets what he said.
Okay.
You know?
But it doesn't mean they have to take him in. You got to remember, there's a lot of very qualified, good people that don't get into Harvard. So why? Mm-hmm. So they could take somebody who they think has the same potential and doesn't have this. You're fucking Harvard. You get to pick and choose.
But yeah. Harvard is being hypocritical, where they do have a checkered past.
It was from the 1600s, not 2 years ago. If you told me they had a slave owner 2 years ago as part of the staff, I go, all right, you might have a point there. Shit, mm-hmm. From the 1600s, it's a long time ago.
Or if you have segregationists on staff now.
Yeah, if you got segregationists on staff. All right, Mr. Kashif, if you have a fucking point, let's sit down and talk. Don't give me shit from 400 years ago. It's not relevant. I mean, most white people, especially in the South, but even in the North, you know, in the 1600s, had fucking slaves. We were a different country. It's not 2 years ago.
Right.
It's a different world.
And he was a kid, but...
That's what you get judged on. It's college.
I know. And a lot of places could say, okay, he's saying he turned himself around. That's good. But you know what? They have the right to say, no, we don't want the stench of that in our school.
Listen, when you're applying for something, you get judged on the history you have.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. This is college. They're judging you the history you have as a kid, the grades you got as a kid, what you accomplished as a kid, the person you are as a kid. That's fucking college.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't IBM when he's 35 years old and they dug this up and go, hey, go. And then you can go, listen, man, that was a long time ago. I was a kid. Yeah. I'm a different man. All college is judging what you were as a kid. That's all it was. That's why parents start worrying about that shit in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. I'm fucking in it. I go, no, you should really do this because it's going to look good for college.
Right.
Your parents know. You know. Especially if you're as bright as this kid is.
And don't post any Google Docs with any racist shit in it. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, now that's the thing where I said, you know, the position I stated before was, you know, he was a kid. Maybe he's changed. Maybe he's this. Now, with that being said, a good counterpoint to what I said is what you just brought up when in that Google Doc. Now, he repeated, this was December 2017. Wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he included repeatedly typing the N-word.
Yeah.
I don't know in what capacity it was. However, if you realize that you are applying to schools and you are a kid and you are in such a media sensitive time where people are judging you everything where you post on social media, it was a stupid move.
But he's telling you, he told you why he did it. He told you he did it because he wanted to be outrageous and shocking. Right. And here's the thing. People were outraged and shocked. Mission fucking accomplished. You did what you set out to do. Don't cry about because you achieved your goal. Don't want, I'm a different person. No, you wanted to outrage. You wanted to push buttons. You did that. Now you live with the consequences.
Right. Well,
if anything, you say, hey, I'm a go-getter and I accomplished what I set out to do. That's how you fucking turn it around. Imagine what I could do with Harvard with some fucking brains and a kick in the ass.
It's not like he was a kid that was just like the stupid anonymous kid in a high school. He'd been aware of being in front of the media before.
That's true, too.
You know? He was probably more media aware than your average kid.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you wanted to...
He was an activist.
Yeah. And an activist that was contra the normal flow for this particular event. He was saying, I don't believe in
no, he was out there on an more or less of an island.
He was, and he's pushing back against gun control when he was in the middle of a school
shooting.
I don't
really know what his position on guns has to do with this story, but
it's an relevant point, and you could ultra conservative guy would probably say it has an underlying meaning, but I don't think so.
But they knew that when they accepted him.
Oh, no. I, like I said, ultra conservative guy, but
right.
Common sense person, you know, would say, you know, with me, which is getting me on this argument where I am siding with Harvard on this, is December 2017 wasn't a long time ago.
No.
And you did use the N-word, and you should have known better because you're at that point when you're applying to colleges.
Right.
So for to go, well, I didn't know any better. No, you're a smart kid. You're going to Harvard. You should have known better.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, I'm changing my opinion on this. Harvard was in the right to rescind that.
See, Joe, we can't change hearts and minds. Yeah. All right. So we all pretty much agree. Harvard's well within their rights to do this. And this kid will get into another school.
Sure.
He'll be fine. He might not be able to get in for the fall semester. He'll get in someplace. Do community college for a year, reapply. That's what you should do.
He hasn't applied to only one school.
Right. Well, he said he missed the scholarship. If I was his kid and I wanted to go to Harvard, you know what I would do? I would reapply.
Yeah.
I would go, you know what? I learned a lot from this whole thing. I take full responsibility. This is how I learn. This is what I'm doing now. And if he wants to really change, you know, work within the community. Show how
he's
going
to have to, because
he's
if he's getting
to
on Fox and stuff like that, and then he's applying to other schools, he's really got to turn it around.
Yep.
And like I said, it's not like something the way we've been so reactionary to stuff where somebody that did something when you're in high school and now in their 50s or whatever, oh, did you know what he did? That was a long time ago. It was fucking 2 years ago. I get it.
It's on his permanent record or his Google Doc.
It's funny, but it's 2 years ago. There's is no excuse.
If it's in the cloud, it'll find
you.
See,
I don't think he's really learned anything because his first thing is, yeah, but what about you? It's not about Harvard's history. This is about who you are, and you're saying you've learned a lesson. Don't point fingers over there if you're trying to get them on the good graces.
Yeah, he's really not as mature as he thinks.
But when you're against the wall like that, if you're going to point out or maybe lose your point, at least you're going to go down swinging and and point out what could be quote unquote hypocrisy on that. I'm not
going to get into Harvard with that.
No, he didn't.
And I think he still wants to go to Harvard, which is why we're having all this. Well, so what I'm saying is, if your dream is still Harvard, refocus. You can come reapply. Do that
new essay is what we're talking about.
You're not entitled to be part of everything. I would love to be part of the New York Yankees. I don't have any N-word docs in my history. But guess what? The Yankees probably don't want me, so I won't be part of the New York Yankees. And that's just the way shit is.
You know how to pitch?
Well, no, then I could be part of the Mets.
That's what I'm saying. You're not a coach, guys. You're under the
age. Too young to be a pitching coach for the Mets.
Have you actually coached Cy Young? Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think I could be managing Mets because I have a problem with people telling me what to do.
Yeah, right. You don't like phone calls?
Not in the middle of shit I'm doing.
Look, dude, you could be the next Mariano Rivera, but if they hear this show, you're done.
Yeah, that's fine. I get it. I'm probably a cancer in the clubhouse. But I've changed. It was September. That was several months ago.
You're going to have to write a hell of an entrance exit. Essay.
I have great writing skills. All right. We'll do some drunks in the news. We're all agreeing tonight. What a lovely show.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, here we go. So so this is a new trend. First of all, we'll do the Benjamin Franklin drinking term, which is not a new trend. His synonym for drinking this week is cockeyed. kind of goes with the gay pride shit we were talking about earlier.
That's what we're talking about. Now, in this context, do the kids have to know what he means by cockeyed?
I don't know. I think it's a good one, though. You drink a little cockeyed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I like that.
I like it, too. But it's gonna hurt.
What?
That unit is loud. You can hear it.
Yeah. it muffles the sounds of a joke dying on delivery.
Well, it takes our attention away from it.
Yeah. I was thankful.
Yeah. That joke was stillborn. People are protesting that joke. They feel like it should have been delivered better.
Oh, is that what that banging on the door is?
Yes, that's what that is.
The masses.
Yes. Actually, women are lining up to have you deliver jokes to their womb because they don't want to have their children. That's
what?
Surrogate joke teller.
Yeah. She's the pussy whisperer. Yes. She just tells jokes and the kids become stillborn.
Oh, wow. That's harsh.
Sure. At least you don't need a hanger. But we move on.
Oh, God.
You're the answer to everyone's prayers, dear.
Well, if things go the way that they look like they're going, yeah.
Yes. Getaway in Brooklyn was comfortably full for a Saturday night when I came, and this is the writer talking, not me, when I came in to try my first shrub, an acidic beverage made from vinegar, fruit, sugar, club soda, and zero alcohol.
I think that that's code. Shrub. Never mind.
Okay. One more and you get a hat trick. I ordered a carrot and ginger shrub and hoped it would be palatable, unlike this joke. I was pleasantly surprised, drank the whole thing, and voila, was not even tipsy. Even more exciting, my bill was a mere $15 for two drinks and a bread bowl to soak up the non-alcoholic beverage, of course. I guess we're in San Francisco, but it says Brooklyn. No. Getaway is a sober...
Same place.
What?
The same place. It's just different bridges.
Okay. See, that's a joke. See that?
That wasn't that good.
It wasn't, but compared to what opened for him. Swally woman.
Don't you make me spit this on the board. No, I will.
I don't have the tarp down, and we're not in the third segment. We're not ready for you to flood the place. Getaway is a sober bar, a new kind of dry nightlife option that is cropping up in New York City. The idea is to provide outlets for people who want to socialize in bar-like location but without having to drink alcohol. They are part of a larger trend. People are paying greater attention to their mental health and wellness. And
sorry.
That's the hat trick.
She scores! 0-for-3! The golden sombrero! Keep going. You're just doing great. Let's see how long. You could be the Robinson Cano of the show and never get a hit again.
He got a hit today.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Got a single.
Oh, look at. So
see, there's hope for me.
We're fingers crossed, dear.
Yeah.
people of all ages are drinking less, not named Joe, while millennials are drinking less overall. And Silicon Valley is taking note, with tech companies reevaluating their alcohol policies and investors looking to capitalize on people who prefer not to drink. It's such a part of the culture, especially here in San Francisco, that I would go out for dinner and have two or three drinks every day, Silicon Valley entrepreneur Justin Kahn, the CEO of law tech startup Atrium, told CNN Business. He said he's seen a shift recently in his tech circle. I was at dinner with a lot of tech people last night, and probably half the people weren't drinking. So he announced last month on Twitter that he was giving up alcohol. He called drinking an unhealthy habit and had gotten in the way of his experiencing life, or at least remembering it. It wasn't exactly unusual for Kahn to share personal details about himself. He once live-streamed his life through the startup he co-founded in 2007 called Justin TV. All right. The same day he tweeted, Kahn launched a group on Chat App Telegram to connect with others who were similarly deciding to get sober from alcohol. He didn't expect them more than 1,000 people would join. Their sales of alcoholic beverages have been declining. Big alcohol companies ranging from Heineken and Budweiser see an opportunity. They're investing in non- or low-alcoholic drinks. So too, startup investors and entrepreneurs are hoping to cater to sober curious.
What a stupid term.
Sober curious. Just going to dabble in sobriety. People who, for the sake of wellness, are reevaluating their relationships with alcohol and how often they drink. Joe, do you reevaluate your relationship with alcohol?
Depending on the situation, if I wake up on a couch cushion going, "Holy shit," then I might reevaluate.
Every Monday morning, he reevaluates.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's like the Sunrise Club.
Yeah,
I feel like that's what that is. That's
no. Any night that's involved with Kevin Downey Jr. is when you a comic buddy of ours. Then you wake up the next morning and go, "Holy shit, what happened?"
I'll never do this again.
The emergence of sober bars is one of the signals that investor Anu Dugal points to when talking about the trend of not drinking. Dugal, who is based in New York City, said that like Kahn, she's noticing that was a chick, I had no idea. She is noticing a number of people who are choosing not to drink. Dugal's firm, Female Founders Fund, fuck.
Say that three times fast.
Female Founders Fund, fuck. Female Founders Fund, fuck. Female Founders Fund, fuck.
There's no fucking
man. No, but there is when I do it.
There could be.
It could, if they're fun.
But you have to get them drunk first. No. That's the problem.
All right, a base hit.
Thank you. Right.
Tip rounds the bag, looks at first, takes a picture, doesn't know when she'll be back, but is happy to be there now. Pip Helix, ladies and gentlemen.
I got the signal to get a second. Apparently not.
Just be happy.
Okay.
Which has backed popular consumer startups such as Rent the Runway. Shit's so popular, I never heard of it. Is a recent investor in Kin.
We're old.
Fair point. Kin's first product is a non-alcohol beverage called High Road. It is part adaptogen, a non-toxic plant that is claimed to have de-stressing effects, part nootropics, a supplement said to help with cognitive functions, and part botanics. On its website, the company notes that its statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. But fuck, it's online. Nobody believes this shit anyway.
Yeah, really.
That's pretty much what they said. Rather than indulging, Kin reasons that the consumption of its product is more for self-care after dark.
That sounds like masturbation.
That's what it sounds like to me. I don't need that beverage going on. No. I don't need any beverage. Yeah.
Actually, that's kind of awkward, positioning-wise.
What do you mean?
Drinking. While you're in the middle of stuff.
She tries to steal second and she's out.
Gun down.
Tag down. It's second.
Back to the dugout you go, sweetie.
Oh.
It wants to create a new market of products that don't contain alcohol but aren't laden with sugar. Kin is co-founded by Matthew Coble, co-founder of Silicon Valley meal replacement startup Soylent.
No!
That's not good.
That's a terrible name.
Which was made of people.
It's a terrible name.
But people aren't filled with sugar. It has already attracted venture capitalist firm, including Canon Partners, Refactor Capital, Weekend Fund, and 50 Years, which aim to invest in companies using business to solve the world's biggest problem. All right. So sober curiosity is a real thing. people are even like drinking water that's supposed to look cool now in cans.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those tech startups are getting rid of all the alcohol parties that they were having before.
Right.
Which we've talked about. So that's just basically, so like the name of that water is called Murder Your Thirst.
That's funny.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, I like that.
Of course.
I think it sounds cool.
Yeah.
So you would drink a can of Murder Your Thirst instead of Poland Spring?
It comes in a can. That's the only deal breaker.
Well, it's better for the environment.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like drinking water out of a can.
Well, makes you think you're getting it out of somebody's butt? Water from the can?
Oh, swing and a miss.
Well, you're the one who's sucking ass, not me, my friend.
Don't wait. Whoa.
You heard his Faghorn Leghorn.
I like the reasoning that they use for the startup Z Benefits banned alcohol consumption after reportedly finding cigarettes, beer cups, and used condoms in the company's stairwell.
Yeah, the party.
Yeah.
Sure. But you don't want that at work.
Yeah, they were becoming some kind of curious in the stairwell. Maybe not sober curious.
I don't know anybody who's identified as sober curious.
I've never heard this stupid term before.
I think why they say sober curious is that people that might want to go out and want to try to go out to an alcohol-free environment.
Yes.
Which would be sober curious. You know, I'm curious. Go out. Let's go out partying tonight. But let's go to a place that serves, you know, these drinks and stuff without alcohol.
It's called fucking Denny's.
No, but the mixed Denny's doesn't have all these other exotic concoctions that they're making.
And also, it's
kind of different. The whole point of going to a bar, the whole point of being in a bar is to, besides the joy I get out of screaming over loud, thumping music all night long, can you hear me now, is because you drink to lower your inhibitions. That's the whole point of booze, to lower your fucking inhibitions.
But there are a lot of people who can't drink anymore, and they would still like to be able to go out. But
you can. You call the designated driver.
People who are in 12-step programs, it's not fun for them to be the sober person while everybody else is wasted. Here would be an environment where
no
they wouldn't have to
be. But there's no point in having a bar that doesn't have booze.
But the thing
it's a stupid thing.
Well, it's not not a stupid thing.
When was the last time you went to one?
Let me explain myself. It's not a stupid thing. It's a niche thing.
Yes.
So if you go to your local downtown, mm-hmm. you know, where all the bars are happening, and you happen to have that place there,
yeah.
Out of all these bars where LFP, you have this, and it's a niche thing.
Yep.
You know what? I want to go out tonight, man. I want to hang out. I don't feel like dealing with drunks. I don't feel like dealing with assholes. Let's go to this place.
Yep. Who said you don't deal with assholes?
Huh?
Who said you don't deal with assholes? Just because they're drinking fruit cocktail doesn't mean they're not assholes.
Well, they could be, but there's more drunken assholery in a bar than there would be in a sober place.
Most restaurants are sober places.
Let's say we finish a gig, okay, and we want to kick back and you know just talk about the show, talk about our show, comedy, but just kick back, and we want to go to a place where not everybody's drunk. We go to a place like this.
Go to a restaurant. I get the same thing accomplished and better food.
No.
I go out to drink. I go to bars and I don't drink. Mm-hmm. So at the point where people are like, "Oh, you don't drink?" No, I'm just not fucking drinking tonight.
Also, you have to remember something. Okay, this we covered this. In Brooklyn, and they covered this in San Francisco. Two places where I said it's the same place, just different bridges.
Right.
You're dealing with the millennial people that are in their early 20s that want to try something different. And they're always looking to expand on something, and that's where they're having it. This is the way they do it. I mean, a lot of kids, now they don't want to drive. You know, it's like when I was 16, you want to get your license. These kids now, they could care less when they drive.
I find that weird.
It's a different mindset that would lend itself to this philosophy.
It comes down to this.
Yeah.
You go to a bar for a reason. Most people go to a bar for a reason. It comes down to TANC, tits, ass, and cock. Whichever place has the better tits, ass, and cock, whether alcoholic or non-alcoholic.
In our generations,
right.
It did. But what I'm saying, and also when you were 16, the first thing you went to motor vehicle.
Why do you think people dance? Sure, some people like to feel the beat, but they want to grind up on somebody.
But
that's why they dance.
You could do that in these places.
In this generation.
But you're going where the people are going to grind up. Whichever place has the hotter young tang or cock, that's what's going to stay in business.
But you're thinking from a guy that's in his 40s.
No, a girl in her teens and 20s. Thinking of a girl in her teens or 20s.
No, you are in the mindset.
No, because I know what girls are. Like. They're horny whores.
But back in the day,
do that without drinking.
It's not the back of the. It's not the day when I would go out to the rock clubs and party and drink, or the OBI, or when you would go out with the frat guys and do all that stuff. It's different now. It's different now.
No, I still think people want to get laid.
I think. Well, there's no reason that they couldn't.
Have you
laid
watched Double
places.
Shot of Love? Bunch of young women want to get laid. That's what it is.
Everybody wants some, but you don't
That's
have
what
to,
I'm saying.
But not everybody wants to be drinking, and they don't want to be
right,
around
but what I'm
people
saying,
who
are people
drinking.
Are going to go whoever, wherever they're the best
and
looking
And why
people.
Do you think there's only thugs in this place?
You know,
I'm just saying, no, I'm saying if they get the best looking people, then these things will survive. If the booze at place still has the best looking people, that's what's going to survive.
Well, yeah, but it just doesn't mean it's a bad idea.
But you want to know something? I don't think that a lot of these investors would be getting into this if they just thought this was going
you
to
you know
be
what else death. Investors got into in the late 90s early 2000s oxygen bars. Remember that shit? Oxygen bars. You don't hear about that anymore, do you? Why? Because it's stupid.
Yeah, well, I mean, but
you could have flavored oxygen. Ooh, it's Elizabeth, New Jersey. Yay, it takes me back. Nobody gives a shit. It's just some stupid fat shit. You can do it. I don't care if you do it. It's just not going to last. You're not going to get my money into it.
You know what? We don't know.
No, I do know. Because I've been around. I've been around and I see people invest in stupid shit.
Yeah, it's possible. But, and I mean, there does mean that there's going to be one on every corner.
Because you know what the bars are going to do? What the bars are going to do is go, you know what? Here, we're going to make you some exotic fucking cocktails that don't have alcohol that are cheaper than the fucking the non-alcoholic place. And you're going to come in there and you're going to get the same shit and you're going to deal with the fucking occasional clumsy guy or gal that steps on your toe because they're shit-faced. Because that place still has bouncers.
But I think that's what millennials, you know, you're dealing with a different mindset. We're dealing with a mindset that's not of our generation, that they look at things differently than we do.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who doesn't want to get laid, except for married people.
Who says that sober people can't get laid?
But they're saying a lot of millennial kids aren't having sex like the previous generation.
Because they're on their phones, not because they're on their beverage, their high C.
Hi-C.
Do they still even make Hi-C?
Yes, they make Hi-C.
I think they do.
They do.
Don't they have packets
yes,
in it?
Yes, it's delicious. And Capri Sun, too. We have in the house.
It's delicious. Oh, yeah.
That's Kool-Aid.
Oh, it's Kool-Aid. No, that's what I was thinking.
No, the Hawaiian punches. Hawaiian punches.
Don't start with Hi-C.
Yeah.
It's delicious. It's good stuff. Good fruit.
Well, the Hawaiian punch guy and the Kool-Aid guy both crashed through buildings. Very dangerous drinks.
I'm surprised you didn't call, you know, break.
What do you mean?
Well, he's a pitcher. He's crawling through a brick wall. You think he'd just collab, die, and spill all his shit all over
the
place.
I have the joke walls don't work. Yeah. I said, I know this for a fact. I saw the Kool-Aid man run through dozens of them. Yeah. I say, he's a happy, fat guy who has an ice cold beverage. What do you think a desperate Mexican looking for work is going to do?
use a big plastic pitcher to get in.
Now, I mean, listen, you can do this shit. They're just not going to last. People are going to go wherever the fun people are.
Well, here's the thing is that, you know, the bar industry and the restaurant industry is very transitory for the most part anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's like,
so you got to go to Applebee's. It's the neighborhood bar.
Well, people want something new. So they'll go and they'll try this.
Well, they have new pot stickers. You should try them.
I like Applebee's a lot. There's one close to us.
There's one close to everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why it's the neighborhood place.
Yeah. it literally is. But I'm just saying that people want to try something new. And so they'll go, they'll try it out. If it doesn't stick, well, you know what? It's like the other 10 bars down the street that
I'm predicting right now.
Anyway.
Sober Curious is going to become sober bored.
Oh, possible.
Well, I mean, listen, for some people, it's fine.
I think
now, that being said, I do think drinking is kind of being looked at like smoking is.
Yeah, it's in a way.
I kind of feel like we're going that way.
Yeah.
I just don't think sober bars are the solution.
You know what? Nobody thought that people were going to be carrying on and paying so much for coffee as they are either.
Or water.
Right. And they've become...
They don't have water bars.
No, but I mean...
They're selling it.
I'm saying like...
Right, but you don't have a whole bill... But you got to pay rent for a bar. You don't got to pay rent to have a bottle of water.
But if you said, I'm going to, you know, charge this much for coffee and have these places for people to hang out, some people were like, are you nuts? There's already coffee in diners. You can make coffee at home. Why the hell would you do this?
And maybe they'll introduce coffee in some of these places
And
well.
Look at this.
I guess, but I don't know.
There would be coffee drinks. Why not?
It's just the kids in their 20s have a totally different view of things than we
at some point
your generation at or some our point generation you, had at that age
at that age at some point you get tired of jerking off and you want to meet somebody, and it's easier to meet them if everybody's been drinking a little bit,
you know what, but you don't have to, and that's probably a turning point in people's thoughts process, that you don't have to be wasted to be able to interact with people.
Really, that's right. You can swipe right or swipe left. That's right. That's the answer.
I don't know, but I think you've got that frat house mentality on that. And listen to me, I was swinging from the rafters myself, my friend. So I'm not saying, you know, I didn't do bullshit. Yeah. Bullshit. You heard the stories. One of them's on the fucking CD.
Look at us defending the sober place.
It's a generational thing.
Yeah.
I don't even drink when I go out very often. I'm like
and what are your choices? You got a soda or seltzer?
No, I'm saying make the drink. I just don't need to go to a fucking place where nobody's drinking so I can have a better time.
That's you.
I think that's a lot of people.
But the thing, you said go to a restaurant. You go to a restaurant, you're going to have somebody eat. No, and then the waitress looks at you, you're going to order something.
I'm going
to
order cocktails. Give me the $15 mudslide. They have shit for me. Give me the virgin pina colada. I'm fine.
Did you say the virgin pina colada?
Virgin pina colada. I've had that too. My mom used to get them for me. We used to get them at
you have a special
Kmart.
Drink stupid alike.
That's on the menu.
You're getting, you still have, you're still getting that punch in the face. So. Now remember, you asked for it. No, I mean, listen, they can start with, I just don't see it catching on. I do think drinking will go down in popularity just because people are being more health conscious, but I don't think the answer is sobriety bars.
Okay. We are choosing to believe you. By the way, while you're looking for that thing, the $1 million paranormal challenge was an offer by the James Randi Educational Foundation to pay out $1 million U.S. dollars to anyone who could demonstrate a supernatural or paranormal ability under agreed-upon scientific testing criteria. A version of the challenge was first issued in 1964. Over 1,000 people applied to take it, but none were successful, and the challenge was terminated in 2015. So that's what we were talking about prior to
getting here.
So that's what I meant.
All right, let's do an outstanding display of spite.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
All right. So I am.
I forget I do those things.
I am particularly fond of this story. A guy named Frederico Hill from Indonesia just posted a story on Facebook about the sweet revenge he got on someone who insulted him. He was in line at a fried chicken restaurant last week when he overheard the woman behind him talking to her kids. "I just bought this chicken out of spite because a mother behind me muttering to her whining children that he can only eat one piece, no more than that, or you'll end up fat like Uncle me in front." I don't even identify as uncle.
No, how dare you?
I asked the clerk if all the chicken on display is all they had left. They said yes, and the other batch is still cooking. I said to the clerk to buy all of it, paid, and walked away slowly. When the mother came up to the register, the clerk explained that they're out of chicken and she needs to wait for 30 minutes. Her kid keeps whining, and she was angry and upset. She then looked at me frowning. I just flipped her the bird and turned to her at home. I'm $17 poorer, and now I have 15 pieces of chicken because of spite. But seeing that look over her face... And her kid is priceless. Love this guy.
Meanwhile, the cholesterol in his veins just laughed.
More company.
You know what? $17 well spent.
I think it's well spent.
Absolutely. And I love that he actually turned around and flipped her the bird. Like, yeah.
I would have flipped her a drumstick.
No. None for you.
Yeah. I like it, Joe.
Yeah, it's funny.
He's my hero.
Is he?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if I would actually do that though. I'd probably be too cheap.
I would do it. I would. I don't know if I would.
Chicken, $17.
I know.
It's Indonesia.
I don't know if I would think of it, but if I thought of it, I would do it. Right. You know, if it was an option.
Have you ever had heard like strangers talking badly about you?
Yeah.
Tell us.
There was this deli kind of Cumberland Farms kind of store that was across the street from where I used to work. And I used to go there pretty much every day and either go get a coffee or maybe sometimes I get lunch or whatever. And there was a pizzeria right next door. And all the guys, or a lot of the guys that worked in the kitchen, spoke Spanish. And so I heard them talking and they would like stare at me when I would walk by and they would talk amongst themselves. And it's like, I understand a bit of Spanish. I'm not completely fluent.
No sotros.
That doesn't mean no kidding. But I would walk by and I kept hearing a particular word pop out.
Concentration camp.
You know what?
That was a discussion we had earlier.
No, I kept hearing them say flaca, which means... it's feminine for, so it would be thin woman.
Okay.
And they kept saying it every time I walked by. So I knew that they were being snarky about me because I'd hear it said and while they were staring at me and I'm walking by. So I realized that's their little nickname for me. So then I yelled at them, "I understand you bunch of pigs," in Spanish.
Excellent.
And they all went, you know. So
did they give you extra dessert?
No, I wasn't going there. So I walked in the back of the deli, and I'm heated the day that I realize that they're talking shit about me. And close enough that they knew I could hear them. They just assumed I couldn't understand them. So I was telling the guy that a friend of mine that worked that owned the deli, and I was telling him what just happened. And don't you know it, The next day, the owner comes in from the pizza place, the same time I'm at the deli, and I'm like, by the way, tell you guys over there, stop talking crap about people and assuming that the gringas don't understand what they're saying. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I explained to him the story, and he goes, oh, I'm sure they didn't say that. And I'm like, I'm not stupid. I know what I heard. Yes, they did. Tell them to knock it off. Don't try to gaslight me. And he's like, So...
My mom told the story. My grandmother, I didn't meet her, but my grandmother was on a bus one time, and there were these two women on the bus, and they were speaking in French, talking shit about them.
Shit
about her. Not realizing that my grandmother speaks fluent French. So she told them in French to go fuck themselves.
Love it.
That's the language of love.
Yeah. That's my grandmother Cleo. I always wanted to meet her.
You got a lot of her in you.
I think I do.
Very tough
woman.
You have to learn French so you can tell people to, you know, follow in her footsteps and tell people to fuck off in French like she did.
I think his eyes say that.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, well, I've never been one for short for words either, you know.
No, in English you do just fine.
Yes, I do.
What about you, Davin?
Just as a comic, I hear people say awful shit about me all the time.
Oh, God.
And that's just the club owners.
They usually do it out of listening distance, Joe.
But you hear them talking
shit
about
you know,
oh,
that guy wasn't funny. You know, this type of shit.
Oh, yeah.
We all hear that as comics.
Yeah, you do.
But, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't really remember. I'm sure people have talked about me.
But when you're walking around as a civilian, that never happened?
You know, it might have.
Yeah.
And I just don't know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know. No, I don't think so. I'm sure it did. Especially when I was heavier and younger.
Yeah,
now I'm thinner and beaten, so what's the point?
Beaten.
Yeah, there's no fucking point in starting shit with me now. I know. No, I don't think so. I mean, possibly, but not the story like you had.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I'm not having that. This is my town.
Good
Nuh-uh.
For you. You run shit up in this bitch.
Yeah, I did there.
Good for you, Pip.
I will fuck you up. I know how to.
Right. All right. Take our last break. On the break, we have new music from STJ and Inusa Dawuda with Marry Me, and you can learn more about them at khb-music.d.